Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. And you're listening to the beautiful voice of India Ari, Neo Soul Artist, from her Song Versation CD. And India is one of my favorite artists, musical artists, to give soul food to the masses. She is doing a wonderful work of raising us higher in our consciousness and in our understanding of who we are. We have, many of us, been deceived, many of us been misinformed of who we really are on this earth. And this show is all about bringing you, the listener, and even myself and my co-host back to alignment with our wonderful Creator, Yahuwah, and His love, compassion, wisdom, and understanding. That's why we're here. And my name is Viata, also known as Ana, my seed name from the Heavenly Father. And I'm so grateful to be here today to share the knowledge that the Creator has given me over the last 59 years. And my host is here today, Rafa, is going to join me in just a minute. We're going to really be blowing your mind today in many ways and giving you some of the basic instruction that we need before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. We're coming from the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, which could be thought of as an acronym for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. One of the roles that I play on this earth is a life coach. I'm a certified life coach. I have a certification as a master herbalist. And I have learned over the many, many years that when you want to bring healing to the body, you have to have the mind renewal first. And what we are going to do today is help renew your mind. And we want to make a disclaimer that neither Rafa, my co-host, and I are medical doctors, but we are healers from the Creator's kingdom. We have been anointed to share the truth, which will bring light, as India sings, to you. You will no longer be in darkness when you have the truth and wisdom of the Creator's energy, love, compassion. And so our job today, our goal today, our heart's wish, desire today is to help you rise in your consciousness today. And one of the things I've done over the past few years is I've spent time in a health food store getting to know many hundreds of people who were running from their medical doctors. And the disclaimer we have is that we're not here to replace the professional advice that you may be receiving from your man or woman in the white coat or your medical doctor, but we're here to enlighten you and to help you take charge of your health. We're here to give you some goals in life so that you can take charge and make decisions that will help improve your journey on this earth. And one of the things I want to do it on every show is to give you some health tips for your body. My goal as the host is to feed your mind, body, and your soul. That's one of the things missing in the medical doctor's office is that they are not feeding those three elements of your being, your mind, body, and soul. And so we're going to give you some food for every aspect of your being. And I want to start off by giving you some tips about managing the stress in your life. Why stress? Stress has been proven in many ways to be the main factor that shifts your gene expressions. You hear all these experts saying that you have a gene for this disease or a gene for that disease. But the truth is coming out, as always, that it's not the genes. In fact, a new science called epigenetic science is above the genes. The things that influence your mind, body, and soul are above, not below, not in your genes, but actually above, epigenetic science. It's a new science. Look that up. Don't trust or believe anything we say. We encourage you to do your homework and find out these things for yourself so that they're sealed in your mind and no one can steal the wisdom and truth that we're about to impart to you. But back to the stress, which is a main factor that shifts your gene expression, whether you're going to have some disease, is how you manage your stress. And that could be a difference of 9 to 15 years in your lifespan on how you manage to control the stresses in life, the deaths of loved ones, the loss of a job, the car injuries, all the activities in our life that cause us to heighten our emotional state of to go to fear or anger or unforgiveness or resentment. That's what creates stress in your body, and your cells are very intelligent. Every trillionth of a cell in your body is very intelligent. It feels every emotion, and it reacts to those emotions. So we want to give you some tools today, just some brief tools on how to reduce your stress or manage your stress. My number one tool is emotional freedom techniques. That's a tapping or body talk. If you go to my website, you can watch a video where I demonstrate the EFT or tapping. It's a wonderful tool to release the pent-up emotions, the stress in your body, and it gives you the energy that you need to do more productive things. So emotional freedom techniques or tapping, go to my website, which is www.holistichomeandbodycare.com. The number two tool, one of my favorites, is essential oils. It's always a good idea to keep some lavender in your purse or especially in your home. Lavender has been known to heal burns. If you put lavender oil directly on your skin, it will heal the burns. It will heal many skin problems, and it's very calming. So keep some lavender oil in your purse for those times when you're in traffic or when you have times that you need to breathe in your car, which is your next tool for reducing stress, deep breathing. And as my host Rafa and I were talking last week, we defined the word spirit and soul as basically being your breath, because when that breath leaves you, guess what? That's your spirit leaving you. So the deep breathing, learning how to do belly breathing, deep, deep breathing, taking in more oxygen. You know, oxygen kills cancer cells. That's been proven by Otto Warburg. He won a Pulitzer Prize to research that showed us that cancer cells cannot live in an oxygen-rich environment. So the more deep breathing that you participate in, that you involve or choose to do, the more your body stays in a very peaceful state and a healthy state. And then the other tool for reducing your stress is exercise. Exercise. Get off the couch. Get away from the TV. Get away from the computer. Even if you have a 9-to-5 job, it's very important that every hour, if you're at a desk, you get up and walk around, and especially at your lunchtime. Get out, get some fresh air, get some vitamin D, which is sunshine, very important in any type of health healing adventure that you're on, as you get more vitamin D in the way of sunshine. And lastly, but not least, is meditation. And meditation we define as a quiet time. The song that you heard at the beginning, I Am Light, is a wonderful song to just stop and close your eyes and deep breathe, and that's your meditation. Focusing on what is true, what is loving, and what is kind, releasing the fear, unforgiveness, and anger, and increasing or cultivating feelings of love, compassion, and forgiveness, which is what the Creator's divine energy is all about. The love, compassion, forgiveness, and the high energy of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So I hope that helps. If you missed any of these tools, if you didn't have your pen handy, you can always go back after the show and listen to the archive show, which is done every week after we complete the show. It goes in the archive, which is a great tool for anyone who wants to review what we talk about. We even do it. I do it because I say, what did I say? So Rafa, my brother in New York, I'm in Orlando, and Rafa is in New York City, and I am so very grateful to have him here as a co-host, and he may be around for a while because he makes a great co-host. He and I have many, many similarities, many belief systems. Our belief system is in harmony for this show. We are both have a strong foundation in the scriptures, and we are growing from that foundation to have understanding. And that's what we want to share today, is the understanding of the recycling of your spirit, understanding your true self using the basic instructions before you leave Earth. So, Rafa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, my brother. How are you today?
Oh, doing well, thank you, my dear. Doing well, ready to get into some beautiful truths with you.
Hallelujah. So last week, you and I really got into some deep understanding, different understanding as usual. That's what having the foundation in the Word does to us. If you keep studying, it brings us to new understanding. And we started out last week with the book of Hebrews, or Ivrim in the Hebrew language, chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the mishpat, or the judgment. So many Christians, as we mentioned last week, use that scripture to say there's no such thing as the recycling of your spirit, or what is commonly known as reincarnation. But last week, my brother Rafa and I really came to the decision that the word recycling better describes what this life journey is about here on earth, as well as in the Shemayim, the heavens, that this is a recycling process. And Rafa gave us so many beautiful scriptures in Ecclesiastes, and I understand you have even more in Ecclesiastes to share.
Yes, my sister. And also some from the New Testament, words of Christ, words of Paul. You know, there's the scriptures full of this truth. It's just the way the scriptures taught to us today with a very Western mentality put us superimposed upon it. These things, they remind me of the passage in Matthew 11 where Christ said that people have eyes but they see not, and they have ears but they hear not, and they can't be healed. That was his purpose. As your show is titled, and we're dealing with the soul, the spirit, and healing, And he said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and they should be healed. Truth is healing. Our purpose tonight to present some healing truth to ourselves as well as the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very good. And Christ, you know, even the word Christ, we grew up, our foundation was in the church, Baptist, Methodist, whatever, Seventh-day Adventist, that was our foundation. But we have come to understand, I have come to understand, especially in my journey, that in the Hebrew tongue, the word Christ is Messiah. So we say Yahshua HaMashiach, which means Yahushua the Messiah, which means the anointed one. And my journey has taught me that we are all anointed when we rise to the level of consciousness that we are light. When we're not aware that we are light, that within us this kingdom exists, this heavenly kingdom that includes the tribes of Israel and all the fathers, Abraham, and all that is within us. When we have this consciousness, we become so anointed, and we become not just the disciples, but we become like our Messiah. So thank you for bringing that scripture out, because we want to elaborate as we go on the ascension and the increase that the Creator has given us as we become more aware of who we really are, our true self. So please share more of your scriptures.
Yes, Deanna, we have a scripture that complements and takes us into the next level from the one you just read last and picked on last week. Hebrews 9:27. Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, excuse me, chapter 5, verse 10, speaking of judgment, as the Hebrews 9:27 speaks. This is just to further that thought. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that kind of puts me in mind of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, I believe, or 14, where it says, here is the conclusion of the matter. That's 13 and 14. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yah will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So Paul here is keeping in line with that scripture and that principle. For the things done in the body, but that's a very, very interesting turn of a phrase, you know, to use that. He's not saying that just for nothing. You know, it's not a pointless sentence, a statement. We will be judged for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And this is what we were building on last week and goes with the verse in Hebrews 9:27, that the judgment you brought out so beautifully is not so much a judgment of death, but judgment as how was your time spent in this world, because time is our judgment here. We are all in a physical body. We are bound not only by the body but by time on this planet. We know out in space the further away you get from the gravity of the Earth, they have discovered the time slows down until it is almost immeasurable. So this is why the passage says in Peter, 1,000 years is like a day with the Creator. It's not, you know, that's where those the thoughts come from, because time is not very relevant outside of our planet. We're given time as a judgment measure. What did you do with this life that you had in that body that you possess? How did you treat that body? How did you treat others that you encountered? How did you help them, or did you help them? Did you try to better yourself? Was your character development, was there any at all, or did you become depraved in nature? We know there are people who become depraved in their behavior and take on very evil, satanic-like characteristics and do the most horrible things. You know, you just watch the news and you can see it every day. So there is a measure that's given to us, which is time, and how we handle that time on this planet is what we are being judged by or judged with in the judgment. Now, the issue is another, let me go to the next scripture. Another statement, wording here is, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. Receive the things done in the body. According to what he has done, what the good is, knowing therefore the terror of the Most High, that we persuade men, but we are all known to the Most High. And I trust that we are well known in our consciences. See, so being honest with yourself is another portion of this issue of knowing yourself, your title, knowing your true self. This is what Paul is talking about. Being honest with yourself, we all are struggling with different things in this world, and sometimes denial is the way people handle them. And you can't get better, you can't heal when you're in denial. So, and you can't get forgiveness when you're in denial, because you won't seek it. You won't attempt to make things better between you and your fellow man. You won't attempt to make things better between you and your Creator. And there is therefore no healing, no remedy, no salvation for that individual. And the broken relationships that will occur when we are in denial. So this deal with the spirit is so many different levels we can deal with it on a healing basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like you said, denial. Your words. This I keep thinking of so many things when you bring about denial and confession. And you know, the foundation of people who grow up in Catholicism is that they have to go to a priest to confess their mistakes, when actually your breath, everything you say is either a confession or a denial. So the part of your soul that needs healing is sometimes just what comes out of your mouth. You don't have to, the foundation of Catholicism is you have to go to another person and confess this, but you can be in a room all by yourself, and the words that come out of your mouth, which is coming from your mind and your thoughts, is what is going to heal you. So many friends that are of the Catholic Foundation are still suffering and sick with disease, and they go to the priest every week, some of them every other day. But where is the healing? The healing is being conscious of, like you said, confessing and not denying first in your mind that you have done something that is out of alignment with the love of our Creator, and that this
yes.
judgment has come upon you because of your words, your breath. The words of the Creator are already in you, just like we were talking about the papaya tree. I have to share this with our audience because I have these papaya trees outside in my yard. I have dozens of papaya trees because that seed dies quickly. Talking about death, we're talking about a seed that has to die when it enters the soil. In order for the papaya tree to manifest, that seed has to die. So it is with us coming from the Creator's love. We come into our mother's womb as a seed, a spiritual seed, a star seed, and that seed has to die to become the flesh body. So this papaya tree is teaching me about the when you have the right soil, that tree will flourish and become full of fruit, and the leaves will be huge. I have these huge papaya leaves, these 12-foot papaya trees that are such a wonderful manifestation of the Creator's timing, the Creator's growth plan for us, and the Creator's names for us. If we are a papaya seed, we should be manifesting the leaves and the fruit of a papaya. If you are the seed named Rapha, then your job is to manifest the name that the Creator gives you on this journey. So you are going to be judged on your name, basically. What is your name? What are you here to do if you have an understanding of that? So it's all about, in our mind first, our thoughts, what do we need to confess to ourselves, really? Because the judgment is going to come within if you are not confessing truth. If you're in denial, as you said, you're going to receive the things done in the body, which is number one, what words are coming out of your mouth. So important, so important. That's a big part of the healing, is we are snared by the words that come from our mouth, and we make our throat a grave. Out of our mouth is comes so much death, and into our mouth people put all these dead animals. So it's about being conscious of what is your name, what are you here to do, what is your true self here? And we're trying to understand that recycling process, because it doesn't end. It doesn't end. We're in the Word now, because this cycle of words in the Scriptures has been going on forever. We're just beginning to see these words in a new light.
That's right. That's right, my sister. We have to give thanks, you know, because truth, as it says in Proverbs, the path of justice is like the light that shines brighter and brighter until the dawn of a perfect day.
Yeah.
And we know that perfect day is coming sooner than later, and as we get closer to that time, more of these truths that have been hidden and buried under mountains of lies for years and years and generations even are beginning to resurface and coming to light. So we are living in truly exciting times.
Yeah.
Fearful at times, but exciting times, because we know that the war is about to end. And we want to be on the right side. That's the purpose of your show, I'm sure. You want people to come into peace with themselves and come into a peace with their Creator. And this is why we are sharing these things. And if so, we have to give thanks also, because I like the fact that when you and I get together, the spirit really takes over, and things that I may have wanted to touch on or say sometime get pushed to the side, and something else will come out, and it's always beautiful, though. So I know it's bigger than me.
Yes, and let me just say, if anyone is interested in calling in, sometimes it feels like it's just you and I having this great conversation, but there may be people listening out there. And so we want to invite you to call in if you have strong feelings or you want to share in this conversation. The number is 215-383-5863. Let us hear from you, and we will continue to share the light that's given to us, two people on Earth, sharing our journey, which is very exciting for us. 215-383-5863, and that number should be on the screen if you're listening on your computer. So, moving right along with this, we are into recycling of our spirit, and it's so interesting how Ecclesiastes is so much about recycling.
Yeah.
We have, you know, in this country especially, we have materials that are produced. How about the flesh, the human body is produced? And then we have materials on Earth, the plastics and the containers that we're now being more conscious that they need to be used again and again and again. So how is that done? It's recycling. They take those materials and they break them down, just as our bodies, our flesh goes into the earth, but then our spirit is set apart unto the Creator. So the spirit does not belong to the earth. The spirit belongs to the Shemayim or the heaven. So
right.
We have this new understanding in our journey that the flesh goes in the grave, but we are not done. That's just part of the recycling, is that flesh is done, but there's a new flesh coming when that seed recycles into a new womb. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you put it so perfect, so beautiful.
Hallelujah.
There is a, like we looked at in last week, we talked about chapter one and looked at all of the different levels that Solomon went into, about the wind and the water and the sun traveling its circuit. We know the moon does the same thing as a cycle of these 29 or 40 days. So everything has a cycle. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time and a season for everything and every purpose. And there is a passage, like we as knowing our Israelite culture, have recognized that Deuteronomy 28 is one of the most potent, strongest identifiers of who the Most High people are today on the earth, and why
Devarim.
What we went through and continue to go through for our disobedience to His laws. Well, there is a couple of scriptures in Deuteronomy 28 that, as I listened to them recently, jumped out at me, and I want to bring them out to you. That they're in chapter 28, both saying the same thing, and verse 6, is in a blessing and in a curse.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to be obedient and loyal to the Father as He was to us, He said, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And verse 19 says the same thing, but the reciprocal. If you do not listen, if you do not love the Creator and heed His voice and His command, He says, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Now, you know, we could probably read over that and not really get the meaning, but if you look at it in the vein of we're talking about the recycling of the spirit, cursed shall you be when you come in, or blessed when you come in. Come in to what? And cursed shall you be when you come in, or cursed shall you be when you go out, and or blessed shall you be when you go out. And go out into what is the question. So this is another passage that gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this scripture in mind, and I want to give you another one in the New Testament that gives much credence to what I'm saying. It's in the book of John, chapter 9. And we want to look at this first three verses, and you will see that first coming in and first going out is not just an idle statement, that the individual in the East in ancient times understood that principle, what that meant. So, let's see. John chapter 9, it says, and as he passed by, Christ passed by, Mashiach passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And
mm-hmm.
his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, we know from reading the Gospels that many times that the brothers would say something maybe off the wall or out of line, that the Messiah would check them. He would correct them quick, too. He would straighten them out. There in Matthew 13, you know, they were asking, explain to us the parable of the tares. And he said, are you too so slow to understand? You don't get it? And then he went on to explain it, but he checked him. And when he was going to the Samaritan village and they rejected him one time, he passed through, and John and Mark said, Master, wilt thou that we call down fire from heaven on them? And he said, you don't know what spirit you are. Like, I didn't come here to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So, and Peter, we know when Matthew 16, when he began to, rebuke his master, oh, you shall not go through this. When he was telling him, I have to go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and crucified and rise the third day. But no, we're not doing that. That's not going to happen. You, far be it from you that this happened. And he told him, get behind me, Satan. And, you know, so when they were out of order, when they said something out of line, he corrected them. Many other passages I could, you know, recite to you.
True.
But to give you, that's a true statement. This time, they asked the question that to us may sound strange or funny. Master, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, how could the man sin that he was born blind? Did he sin in the womb? You know, so it's like kind of sounds silly. But he answered them direct on what they asked him, proving that it was not a silly, foolish statement. He said, neither this man nor his parents did, but that the works of Yah should be revealed in him. So he was born blind for a purpose, and we know that was to prove the miracle power of the Son of Man. But that is not the focal point of what we want to address here. We want to tackle verse 2. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And excuse me, the Pharisees also addressed that issue when you read further down into verse 34, because they had a debate after he was healed, challenging the man, like, you sure that this guy did it? He's a sinner. He couldn't have done it. He breaks the Sabbath, and he doesn't follow the tradition of the elders, and they were badgering the man who was healed, and he said, hearing is a marvelous thing. That's verse 31, that we know that Yah does not answer sinners. So if this man was a sinner, he could do nothing. And they reviled him, verse 34, and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Why did they say that to him? Why did the disciples ask our Mashiach, the Messiah, that? Because they knew something that we have lost, that has been seized from our mind, that born in sin, yes, we have sinful nature, but they are talking about the fact that he was born with this physical malady, ailment. They looked at it as a curse. Well, you must have done something in your previous life that now judgment is on you, and you coming into the world with a. They looked at someone with a deformity, a physical deformity, as a judgment. The same way people look at, like I used to remember, I'm sure you remember when AIDS first was coming out, people said, it's a direct judgment. It's a curse from the creator. And we know that's not true. But
on homosexuals, especially, they were saying.
Yes, right. And we know that's not the case. That was not a judgment from the creator. But it follows in the same vein, and Christ did not rebuke them nor correct them, because he understood that principle, that sometimes that does happen, because it's in the Torah, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out, if you do not heed my word, as the Most High Creator says. But that doesn't always take place in a physical malady, like being deaf or being blind, lame, or mentally incapacitated, retarded, autistic, as we call it today. So many physical ailments, some people are born with organs that are not functioning properly, heart murmurs and so have you. And that it's sometimes... It could be a judgment, but not necessarily. It's not. It's so. This is where we have to put into play Matthew 7. Judge not, lest ye be judged, because we don't know.
Right, because and I were talking earlier about that scripture that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
And that is such a deep truth about who we are, this spirit of the human flesh and or in the human flesh, and that scripture that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it's Psalms 129. But just to give an example today, to bring it forward to the 21st century, one of my favorite people is Ayanla Van Zandt. She's a spiritual counselor, a health coach, a motivational speaker, all these things. It's just woman is just an amazing soul. And I love her show. That's one of the few things I watch on TV is Ayanla Fix My Life, because she's kind of a mentor to me. She is so good at healing people's soul at a soul level. So yesterday, if people were watching, she started her season with talking about a man who had 34 children. And, of course, you think about what the sin of the man, because there were 17 women involved. But then you look at the Torah or the scriptures, and that's what they were doing all the time back in
right.
The Torah, is having 17, 20 wives, and they made a lot of children that way. But today,
right.
we looked at that, and she broke down the fact that the parents played a major role in this man's behavior as an adult, which I believe is always the case. When you are challenged in your adult life with some behavior that is keeping you unhealthy or affecting your relationships in a negative way, it usually goes back to the relationship that we had with our parents. So that seed is planted in the womb, and it turns out that this man's mother was beaten by her husband when she was 8 months pregnant. So, and in the womb, there was not the love, compassion, and understanding of the Creator, Yahuwah. In the womb, this baby was feeling the anger of the father, the depression of the mother. All those things affect the seed that's growing, or the flesh that's growing, and then the mind of the baby inside the womb. And so that child comes into the earth, and if the love is still not there, if the parents are still fighting and arguing, then that energy is picked up. That's the nature of the earth. The energy is picked up by that child, and it influences that child's thinking and growth in maturity and love and compassion. So fast forward 30-some years later, this man has slept with 17 women and is unconscious about the effect it's having on these children and what Ayanla calls irresponsibility. When you have that many children and they don't know you and you're not having a relationship, then it's irresponsible. So all this to say, getting back to your point about the man being born blind, we have to always understand we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think that's what the Messiah was trying to say to these men. No matter what the disease, no matter what the imperfection in the flesh, it's all for the glory of the Creator. Because when you have my training to this point as a coach, life coach, health coach, healer, or master herbalist, is that any dis-ease in your body is not meant to kill you. It's meant to wake you up. You get a diagnosis of cancer, that is not a death sentence, but we are trained in this society to think that cancer is the enemy, and we need to burn it, cut it, or poison it out of the body. But my understanding as a child of the Most High and his healer, his coach, is that you need to understand when you get that diagnosis, it's a wake-up call, and it's meant to be for the glory, as the Messiah said to these people, his disciples, it's meant for the glory of the Creator if you are waking up and becoming conscious to your true self. Who are you? Why would you manifest curses in your body? Why would you manifest tumors in your body other than to glorify the Creator and wake up? Wake up and turn those things around, because those scriptures, the basic instructions before leaving earth, are always telling us you can be healed. You can be restored.
Yes.
You can be renewed. You can have light shine instead of darkness, but you have to be renewing your mind. So how appropriate is that you bring that out, that Yahushua says it's for the glory of the Creator. Everything that happens in this body is for his glory. It's not for us to go burn it out or cut it out or poison it out, which brings no honor to the Creator, what sense? I get so upset with the system that says the best thing we can do from you is cut your breast off, cut your organ out, burn it, cut it, kill it, chemicals. How does that give glory to the Creator?
Right. Yeah.
And I take a deep breath on that one. Let you speak.
I can tell. Yeah, that's very hits home. Yes. It's home to me, too, and I'm sure many other people, because we all have folks that have went under the knife or under the radiation. And
chemical poisons.
Yes, very tragic ending. And it's not any way in a healing manner. There's more destruction done than healing. So,
it's witchcraft, because the Revelations tells us that the nations were deceived by pharmakeia, which translates in the Hebrew or the Torah to witchcraft.
Right.
And this is one deceived nation. We are so deceived most people, not myself, but we're practicing witchcraft in this country big time. And how are we? And we're being judged for it, Holly, every day. People are making choices for witchcraft versus healing the body with love and essential oils and tapping and all the tools that the Creator gives us. People want to push aside, and instead the Messiah says this is meant for the glory of the Creator, not the glory of the medical system or the pharmaceuticals or any other system in this world. In Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is the word, Hebrew word for Egypt. When we start coming out of Egypt, we're going to be judged whether good or evil as we come forth out of Egypt. There's our judgment again. That's our judgment again. But we have to come out of her, says Yahuwah. Come out of her, my people, saith Yahuwah. Coming out of the systems that are not giving glory to our Creator who knit us together in the womb and set our spirit apart so that we can be recycled again to serve and glorify again. It's all about a recycling to glorify our Creator.
That's right. That's right. That's the bottom line. And
yes.
I've heard this sermon preached so many different ways and many good points brought out from it, but they never address verse 2 and 3 because that is an issue that is not understood. As we spoke about earlier, it's overlooked that the spirit of a man is not relegated to the life of the flesh. There is a passage in like I quoted earlier, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. There's a scripture in Luke chapter, I believe it's 12. Yes, in Luke 12. And the Psalms that you were quoting, Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully created.
Thank you.
That's Psalm 139. Now, this passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 4, here Mashiach says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And we know this worship word fear means reverence him. And that is a illustration that gives credence to the understanding. The spirit in us is not subject to the same death as the body is. The body,
yeah.
we are natural to this planet. We are native to this planet. The minerals in our body match the minerals in the soil.
Yeah.
And this is why eating from the earth is so beneficial to us, living off of the earth, as opposed to the pharmaceuticals you spoke about, or even the processed foods, because the earth matches our physical structure, and it's life, giving life back into our body. But
yeah,
spirit,
and you yourself, I want you to just for a minute touch on how you had to be fed for 3 years. You were fed food that was not of your choice, and how did what was the result of that?
The degenerate food that you are forced to eat in any so-called correctional, I call them corruptional facilities. Correctional
right.
institution. The degenerate food and the non-natural material that they make you wear, it doesn't breathe, it's not healthy for your skin. All of that combination, the lighting and everything, it's a very, very toxic environment, and the food is toxic. It's the lowest grade, the cheapest form of something that wouldn't sell in the supermarket is what is fed to the population, and it's because it's cheap, and, you know, they're looked at as, well, they're nobody. They're not even citizens anymore. They're just a number. So you feed them anything that's new on the market in the pharmaceutical industry, or in the food department, is tested in the correctional facilities first before it hits the street, because if something goes wrong, it's okay because they're not citizens anymore. So what are they going to do? So the clone meat started there. So many different cheese that's not cheese, it's some chemical somebody came up with and put oil and flour and some chemical to it, coloring, additive, and they call it cheese. And it's a cheese product. It's not cheese. And they feed it to everyone. It's just
but
food
but
is very degenerate.
You just described people who are not even in that system, Rafa. There are people who are not in that correctional institution, and they're choosing the same crap, the same garbage you just described. So what does that say about the minds of people who are choosing that, even though they're not being forced to, but they think this is the only choice I have. So we are here to wake people up to the fact that you do have choices. You can change what you put in your mouth. Your mind has to be renewed, though, to understand that you're not a slave. You're not in a correctional institution, but that's the way the media has programmed people to believe, that you have to buy what we advertise on the TV and you have to buy what's put on the shelves of the grocery store. But what does it do to the body? It weakens the body, and then you're in a place now that you're recovering, right, from all that.
Trying to. It's a process, because
yes,
have to be aggressive with that recovery, and but you have to have the means and resources as well as the knowledge. I have some of the knowledge but not all of the means and the resources that I will shortly, as I told you, in early next year. And it will, the process will get speed it up, and I will begin to feel better quickly. There's pains I get in my body that I never used to have, in my joints and things, that I know it came from that 3 years of stress and bad food and lack of movement, where you're kind of isolated for a lot of the day in your movement. You can't just get up and go outside when you get ready or go for a walk or do anything. Everything is monitored and structured. So now you have
more choices. But now you have more choices. You can go out and walk in the sun.
Yes, I
you
did
can
a nice
drink.
One
you
today.
Can drink more water. You can drink purer water now. The Creator gives us more choices as we are freed from our slavery and our incarceration, and then we have to make a decision as to, are we going to be renewed in our mind first and then take advantage of the choices that He does and the opportunities that He does give us. So praise Yah that now you're in a new place of more choices, more and more choices. And as you say, as the days and the time progresses, your choices will become choices of health and life and strength to serve the Creator, to serve the Creator and not self, and to not serve man and his ways. That's what these instructions are helping us do.
That's right. And that takes me to a verse in Romans 12 that we all know. I'm sure when I begin to quote it, you'll remember it clearly, where Paul says, glorify Yah in your mind and in your spirit. A matter of fact, you know, that's 1 Corinthians 2. Yes. That's 1 Corinthians 2. Glorify Yah in your mind and in your spirit, which are His. And again, we have that separation of the body and the spirit. But just to underscore what you're saying, yes, we want to glorify Him in what we do, what we say, in our body and our spirit. Just to add, I'm sure you might want to go, I'm not sure if you're going to go on break in a minute, but to close that scripture in Luke 12, that the spirit, Solomon says, the flesh goes back to the earth. That's Ecclesiastes 12:7, I believe, where he says the spirit will go, the body will return to its earth, and the spirit will return back to Yah who gave it. And that is, yes, that was verse 7. And the point there is the Spirit is coming from our Creator. We are a part of Him. He is a part of us, that life force in us. Therefore, that Spirit doesn't die because it's from the Eternal One. There is no death with the Eternal One. That the Spirit has to be destroyed, just like the spirits of Paul, we call angels today, the evil angels, Hashatan, Satan and his cohorts or spirits. They're called ministering spirits, referring to the ones that work on the Most High's behalf for us, for our good. Then we have demonic forces that want to destroy us. Well, those spirits don't die. They have to be destroyed. That's what Matthew 25:41 says. Go you into hell fire, prepare for the devil and his angel, because they have to be destroyed. They will not die. Just like our spirit, if we side with the enemy, we will also take on his fate, which is destruction. in hell fire. So it just underscores, it's not that the body will be resurrected and then cast into a fire and burn forever and ever and ever, because our Creator is a loving Creator. He's not into torment and torture. That's what 1 John 4 says, or 18. There is no fear in love because fear has torment. So how can we say, how can people say, not us, but that the Creator will burn you forever and ever and ever? That's torment. But he says fear, there's torment in fear, and there's no fear in love. And if you don't, if you know your Creator, you have love. He is love. That's what the scripture says. So,
and here, and it's here is, let me just, yeah, it sure is. And here is someone emailed me about our show last week, and they quoted this scripture, Exodus or Shemoth chapter 7, verses 4 to 5, talking about the adversary, your enemy. You brought up that enemy, the Hasatan enemy. But this, when we look at the Torah in the beginning, we're talking about the adversary, not just then, but today. And in verse 4 and 5 in the chapter 7 of Exodus, it reads, "But Pharaoh shall not listen to you, that I may lay my hand upon Mitzrayim," or Egypt, "and bring forth my divisions," or my judgments, "or and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Mitzrayim by great judgments. Bring forth my armies," is what that was, "and the Mitzrayites shall know that I am Yahuwah. The Egyptians shall know that I ni a Yahuwah, when I stretch out my hand on Mitzrayim and bring out the children of Israel from among them." See, he has a plan. The Creator, the collectiveness of Yahuwah and the angels and the messengers and the Al-Hahim have a plan. So let's just take a quick music break here, and we'll let everyone marinate on that scripture, because that talks about the enemy today and the salvation we have today. When we recognize that he is Yahuwah and that he is going to bring out his children, and you have to ask the question, are you one of the Creator's children, or do you have the mind to serve in Egypt? So let me just feed you with a song that my brother Shemuel Wali sings, and it's actually from Psalms 115, which talks about what Rafa mentioned earlier about they have ears, but they do not hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. And those who make them will be like them. It's called Lo Lanu. In Hebrew, that means not to us. So just listen to these words and let them feed your soul. And we'll be right back after this music for the soul.
Lo Lanu. Not to us, Yahuwah, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Lo Lanu, not to us, Yahuwah, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nation say, where now is their Elohim? For Eloheinu is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. And those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. Oh, Israel, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. You who fear Yahuwah, trust in Yahuwah. He is their help and their shield. Yahuwah has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aharon. He will bless all those who fear Yahuwah. The small together with the great. Yahuwah gives you his increase. You and your children, you are blessed of Yahuwah, maker of heaven and of.
Now, I hope everyone is feeling the words of that song, because it's really speaking to us about who are you? What is your true self, and what are you here to do on this earth? What's your purpose here on this earth? Do you identify with the word Yisrael? Yisrael is not a place as much as it is in your mind. Who are you? Are you a child of the Creator? Are you knit together in the womb with a purpose and a name that should shine forth now with branches and from coming from a seed? Are you afraid of the Pharaoh in your life? Though that's what that song is singing to us, is who are you trusting? Who is your help? Who is your shield? And it's not just those who are raised in a Christian environment, but any person, human being, who has a conscience that says, I come from a greater place called the Shemayim, and I have came as a seed, that seed died, and now I have become this body of a name. Rapha is here with me. I'm so grateful. Rapha, what does Rapha mean? I bet people are wondering, what does that name mean, and are you living that purpose, Rapha?
No one said it like
there's your
you.
Question.
No one says it quite like you. yes, it means to be healed and restored, made whole.
Hallelujah.
So it seems like we have a date with destiny coming together here.
Yeah,
truly. The name of your show.
Yeah. And doing your purpose is what's going to heal you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how many pharaohs you had to reject and move away from. You're now in a place to live your name. And just as I am in a place to live out the name Ana, which is my seed name, and it means to basically get things done at the right time, at the right place. So being conscious of our name is like the first step. If you have a name that was given to you by your parents that you don't resonate with, then seek a new name from your Creator, because you had a name when that seed was put in your mother's womb. There was a name that went with that seed, and we don't always know it until later in life, but hallelujah, when we do know it, it brings about a lolanu, not to us, but to you, Yahuwah. We give glory because of all that is in our seed and our name. So you were talking before about the adversary. How many days do we come up against an adversary? Every day.
Oh.
Is it not every hour?
Sometimes we are our own adversary.
Yes, our mind.
We are, especially those who have received a spiritual awakening, like rebirth, where as we're studying this issue of the recycling of the spirit, what is being born again means you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless ye be born again, John 3:3. So this is the words of the Mashiach. So that's a serious statement. And being born again is your spirit becoming, awakening, getting back in tune with the Creator. Because when this spirit comes into this world, into that embryo, that fetus, you know, you don't have, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9-11, there is no remembrance of former things. You don't know who you are. You come out as a baby, and you have to learn this life, this process. What is, and people, as we know, go through their whole life sometime and get old and never really know what was it all about? What was their purpose? Or they never get that spiritual awakening. So the rebirth, or born again, as we call it in today, is just the spirit element in us, that part that is the part of the Creator that is in that, the real us, beyond the flesh, the body. That is what becomes awakened again and sensitive to His will, sensitive to His law, sensitive to His commandments, sensitive to His spirit. Because Romans 8:16 says, the spirit of Yah is, before I misquote that, let me just read it correctly. It's Romans 8:16. I'm reading, here it is. It says, is it 16? Yes, it is 16. But let me start from 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, these are the sons of Yah, or the children of Yah. And that's what, to underscore what you just said, not only about the physical nationality, anyone who becomes aware and obedient to the Creator. And let's see, 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Here he says again, because we have a spirit of bondage on us in this world. The movie The Matrix brought that out in a masterful way. It was so plain. He says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yah. So that's, he's giving credence right there to the element of the Spirit in us. The Spirit of Truth does not, or the Holy Spirit does not deal with our body, so to say, physical. We live out the effect of the working of the Spirit in our body, but the Spirit of Truth deals with our spirit, the real self, who we are, that your show is about, the understanding your true self. That's what the Spirit of Truth does and revitalizes, that energizes, brings to life that force in us, where we're sensitive to the Creator's will and wooing and calling us to a higher level of life and peace and happiness and healing. And this is what the salvation that the Creator offers us. And it starts in the spirit. and manifest through our body. So when we are awakened, now we are in conflict. So when you ask to add about the adversary, yes, we get in conflict with ourself. As it says in Romans 7, that which I will, I do not, but that which I would not do, I do. You know, we struggle. Sometimes we fall, and we hate ourselves, and we beat ourselves up with guilt because we're struggling with whatever sins may be, you know, in our life, and we feel like there's no hope. But the scripture says in 1 John 4 that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So there is hope, and there is a reason to be happy and joyful because he doesn't give up on us, and we shouldn't give up on ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned the law, recognizing the Creator's law. It brought to mind that there is a picture being circulated on the internet of the officer. They claim it's the officer who shot Michael Brown, this young man in Missouri. So they're circulating this picture around the internet just recently. It's going viral because it's a lot of talk about it, of this officer with a bruised eye, one eye closed and stitches above the eye, and he's in the hospital. And it turns out that this picture is not actually the officer at all. When you compare the picture to the guy who is standing recently in a room, it doesn't look anything like him. But there's this need to justify the death of a young man when really you don't really need to do that. The law speaks for itself. You reap what you sow. That's the Creator's universal law. And if I remind my listeners every week, the law does not change. You reap what you sow. Everybody gets what they deserve. It's something we can't change. If you live long enough, you'll understand that. It's the reason my dad is 89 years old and he's in a clear mind, because he has planted seeds of compassion, wisdom, all his life, even though he grew up in the Jim Crow South of Louisiana, hate being hated on all, most of his young life as a black man. He has planted seeds of compassion and wisdom. So he's still walking around with a cane, with a very clear mind at 89 years old. When you leave this earth at the age of 18, I'm sorry, but it says something about the seeds you've planted. I don't care what people believe. This guy, they're circulating this picture trying to justify Michael Brown's death. See, Michael Brown beat up this officer, and look at him, he's all bruised, he's in the hospital, so he deserved to die. Well, it's not because this officer is they're showing pictures of a bruised face, which isn't even his. It's because we reap what we sow. The law of the universe will stand forever. Le'olam vayed is the Hebrew phrase. Le'olam vayed, we reap what we sow. That papaya seed I threw in the compost, and what came up was a papaya tree bearing papaya fruit. It died. The seed died. When our flesh dies, the spirit goes on, recycles, as we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes or more or less. It recycles because the lesson is over. The messenger, Michael Brown, has left the earth. We here who are left to take it to heart and learn the lessons, we don't have to be in denial about everything, and we just need to learn the lesson, people. Let's learn the lesson and stop trying to justify the death, because the Creator has purpose in every death and everything that goes on this earth. And Rafi and I are just here to share our story, our experiences thus far, and to share, put some light on this scripture, these black letters in the Bible, and bring them to life out of the traditions of man, out of religious thinking, and bring it to life to understand our purpose on this earth, the need to love and have compassion and forgiveness and heal this earth. We are in need of healing on this earth. That's why we have Soul Purpose Healing on this radio show and so many other shows that are divinely appointed to bring healing to the earth. That is our mission. We are not here to create more conflict. We are here to learn the lessons, teach the lessons, and bring healing. Rafa, of all people, has learned some really, really important lessons in the last 4 years. And I always love for him to sum up the lessons that he's learned. And I have not been in the same shoes as Rafa, and I have not learned the same lessons, but when I hear them from him, I take it all in and teach it to others. So I think Rafa should sum up those lessons with every show so that people don't have to repeat and go through the same journey that Rafa has gone through, because the whole purpose for that was to learn and teach others. Would you say, Rafa?
Yes. When I was writing the Israelite community, or even any believer, whether Christian or not, I would always tell them, my life is like an object lesson. You know, to show, there's a passage in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 20, that he says, the hand of Yah is, the hand of Yahweh is on, is, he says, how to say, he shows favor and blessing over those. Here it is, before I misquote it. The hand of Almighty One is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. That's verse 8:22 of the book of Ezra. And so I would tell people, yes, that as it says in, I believe in Timothy, Paul talks about some men's sins. How did he say some men's sins precede? Here it is, 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. See that? There's that judgment again.
Yeah, always showing up in our face.
Yes. Preceding them to judgment, talking about the end of your life here. But some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. So what does that mean? Simply that some things people do and maybe it looks like they got away with it, but we know that's not true. Because he says every work will be brought into judgment. But
right.
It just shows that some things are not clearly seen in the public eye. My life is in the public. It was broadcast. Everybody could see what happened. And I was telling people it's an object lesson. Use it that way. Look at it. Learn from it that the Most High loves us. But he is not to be trifled with. He does not say he don't play with him. And even though he will correct you, he may do like he said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 5, as a man love his son and chasten him, so will I have to chasten you. He may do it, but his judgment, his corrections are both loving and restorative. He corrects us to restore us. That's the difference. He doesn't just beat you in wrath. He beats you to say, come home, stop. Wake up. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to destroy yourself. Stop doing that. Come home. I'm here waiting on you. So this is the message.
Hallelujah. And your name is proof of that, because you are truly being healed and restored after a challenging journey. And I'm so grateful that you're here. And we have I can't believe 45 minutes have gone, 90 minutes.
Hour and a half,
we've been in 90
right.
minutes. so yes. We're going to thank you. Rafa will be back, Yah willing. And we're going to, next week, we're going to take all the news of the week and digest it, because so much fear is being put out in the airwaves that we have to tear down the strongholds. That's part of our job, tear down the strongholds and bring love, peace, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to what we see with our eyes and what we're hearing with our ears. So please come back next week, Rafa. I'm inviting Rafa to come back each week until he gets tired of us and share his
you.
Week with us, share his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. And we leave you with what is one of the most important tools to live a healthy, wealthy, prosperous life on this earth, and that is gratitude. And once again, India Ari sings it and plays it so well. And let this be your food for the week, for your soul, to be in total gratitude. Thank you so much for listening, and have a blessed week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Cease to amaze me the way you love me.